Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in on this final day of Live the Promise on My Faith Radio. This is my last live day. We've got some recorded broadcasts for tomorrow and the next day, but I'm so honored to have you listening today. It's been such an amazing journey to serve with you over these 8 years. Wow, absolutely amazing. Well, we're going to talk today with my friend Susie Eller, who wrote a book about the Spirit-led life, and we're going to really kind of discern how it is that Jesus has offered us the Comforter, the Advocate, the Prince of Peace. He's offered us the Holy Spirit, and yet we default over and over again to going it in our own strength. We'll get Susie on in just a moment, but want you to know, I'd love to hear from you. In fact, second hour today, it's our final hour. I'll open the phone lines up. I would just love to hear from you. It's another edition of Talk to Me Thursday, and my question will be, tell me about a time when you've stepped out in faith. But I'd also just love to say goodbye, a chance to chat with you. That will be second hour. Also want you to know my email, susie@myfaithradio.com, will be no more after today. So if you could make a note that my email is info@susielarson.com, that would be fantastic. And just as far as what's going on for me in the days ahead, maybe keep up with us on my website, susielarson.com. There's a newsletter. You can sign up on the main page there. And when we have details, we'll just send those to you. I'm right now in a place of seeking God. I need a time of rest and Sabbath. Looking forward to that. But I'd love to keep up with you. So you can find that info on the web, susielarson.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Susie Eller is the author of Come With Me Devotional, a year-long adventure in following Jesus. And she's a popular blogger. She's with Proverbs 31 Ministries as a writer and speaker. And her message is to encourage women to live fully and free in their faith, in every aspect of their lives. Susie and her husband, Richard, live in Arkansas, and I love this woman. I've known her for over 10 years. I think it's closer to 15 years. Dear Susie, what a treat to have you be on the last broadcast. Honored to have you with us today.
Susie, I am so humbled, almost to tears, that I get to hang out with you in this final hour. So I know that I'm not allowed to cry because then both go downhill.
Indeed.
But thank you. Thank you for letting me be with you today.
Well, honored to talk with you about your beautiful book, The Spirit-Led Heart, Living a Life of Love and Faith Without Borders. And I just have to give a shout out to our publisher, Bethany House. They are publishing so much good stuff and such quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you and I are sisters in so many more ways than one, but we're publishing sisters for one. But congratulations on a beautiful book.
Thank you. They did an incredible job. I'm wowed by what they have done with this.
Mm, so great. Well, you know, because you've been on the show before, we love to start by talking scripture. And you chose Romans 8:27. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. That's such an assuring promise. I just needed to read that today, but talk about why you chose it.
I chose that because there are times that we have no idea what to ask God for, and yet our spirit is crying out for Him with every fiber of our being for direction, for confirmation, just to know that He is there. And the fact that the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying because He speaks in harmony, that word I love, with God's own will, means that when I cry out to God, that even though I don't know where I'm going and I don't know what to even ask for, God knows. And through the Holy Spirit, He'll confirm it in my spirit step by step by step. And I can trust that.
Mm. Tell us a bit more about your journey of faith as far as learning the third person of the Trinity. We've talked about this on the show before, Susie, that because of excesses and misuse or whatever, misrepresentation, some have strayed so far from conversations around the Holy Spirit that they actually look at the Trinity as the Father, Son, and the Holy Scriptures, you know, when it's the Father, Son, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit. We need to have this conversation. So talk about just your understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what He means to you in your walk of faith.
Sure. There's a couple of different things I want to share. And one is, you know my story. I wasn't raised in church. And so when I became a believer, I felt like I was about 2,500 miles behind everybody else. Like, I didn't know what God wanted to do with my life. I didn't understand the scriptures. I struggled to understand the principles of my salvation. And then I would go home to a house that was chaotic and messy and hard, and there was no belief in sight. And one night, I went with a group of teenagers. I was, I believe, 17. And we went to a little revival for teenagers. And I went, and this is an old-fashioned thing, but I went to this beautiful altar at the front of this little tiny church, and I cried out for help. And I just said, I need help. I need help to know who I am. I need help to understand who you are. And a pastor tapped my shoulder in what seemed like about 2 minutes into my prayer and said, honey, everybody's gone. It's time to go. And I looked at him just with surprise and said, I just started praying. And he said, no, you have been praying for 2 hours, honey. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife just sat behind me. And in that moment, as I cried out for help, the promise of a helper arrived. And for 2 hours, and sometimes we forget that our faith is not a natural faith, it's a supernatural faith. And in that 2 hours, supernaturally, the Lord answered my cry for help. And nothing had changed at home. I still had so much to learn. But when I stood up and walked to my car to drive back to my chaotic home, I knew that I was not alone and that something inside of me was different. So that was my introduction. And Susie, now 40 years later from that moment, I still long to be filled daily with this promise of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we have made this complicated. This is nothing new. Throughout generations, we take these beautiful, simple promises of God and we try to heap upon them our expectations or limits or put them in a box. And so when writing The Spirit-Led Heart, I wanted to go in and just simply sit again, like I did with Come With Me, with the disciples in the early church and hear what Jesus had to say about it. And it wasn't complicated at all. It was introducing the fact that God loves us. Jesus rescued us. And the Holy Spirit helps us live our life or our faith in a way that others are drawn to that love. It's as simple as that.
In the book, you tell a story. You're sitting with some girlfriends. You gather each week and read scripture together, and you were reading the book of Acts, and a friend stopped and said, wait, does this stuff really happen today? And love for you to answer. Tell us how you answered her.
When she asked that, because we are reading the book of Acts, and we see people that are praying for others and trusting that God is hearing their prayers, or we see that people are stepping out with their knees knocking to share the gospel, even to those who didn't understand it. And that's such our culture today. And her question wasn't that she was ready to go on a preaching tour. She wanted to know if this still stuff could still happen in her home and in her heart today. And my answer to her was yes. Yes, because according to John 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus made a promise to the church, and he said, and the Father is going to send another advocate, not an advocate, another advocate, and he will be with you forever. And Susie, as far as I'm concerned, forever hasn't gone away yet.
Indeed.
So that promise is for me, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As you've walked with the Lord now, you're a seasoned believer, you love God's word. Looking back over your shoulder, Susie, what about the Holy Spirit maybe has surprised you? What do you know about the person of the Holy Spirit you didn't know even 10 years ago?
And I continue to learn. I think that with any relationship with the Lord, with embracing the faith view of the Holy Spirit, that we do continue to learn as we walk in this. I think the thing that surprises me the most is the things that I think are big aren't usually big. Usually the smallest acts of obedience, the smallest nudges from the Holy Spirit that seem like they're insignificant, I realize more and more that the eternal perspective of that is very different if I listen to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's simply where I want to throw my voice in, and I feel that nudge that says, nope, this is not your assignment. Or, you know, now is not the time to talk. Or this is the way I want you to do this. This is the way I want you to go. I love the intimacy of that. I have a friend, her name is Sheila, and she describes prayer as the great exchange. And she said, when we go to prayer, we exchange our doubts, our fears, our plans, our goals for His plan. And that is such an intimate exchange. And the Holy Spirit is the conveyor of that because He knows the heart of the Father over us. He knows the heart of the person standing in front of us. And as we begin to listen for that nudge of the Holy Spirit, we participate in that great exchange throughout our life and throughout our day.
Love that, the great exchange. We're going to pause here. And when we come back, though, we're going to dig into the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives and maybe speak to that person today who wants so much to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, to have a Spirit-led life, doesn't know the first step to take. Talking to Suzanne. I know her as Susie Eller, but on her books, you'll see Suzanne Eller. Title of her book, The Spirit-Led Heart, Living a Life of Love and Faith Without Borders. We've got 4 copies, thanks to Bethany House. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Spirit-Led Heart in that subject line. Remember, my email is going to be changing. So if you want to connect with me, write me at info@suzylarson.com, and we will be back in a moment. Christy Knuckles, Everything is Mine in You, Lord Jesus. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friend Susie Eller. Love this gal, author, speaker with Proverbs 31 Ministries. Her new book is titled The Spirit-Led Heart, Living a Life of Love and Faith Without Borders. Email if you'd like in on the drawing. Got 4 copies to give away. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. So let's talk, Susie, about the Holy Spirit as our helper. What does that look like?
You know, that word advocate, the root word for that is paraclete, and it simply means that comes alongside. But that word is so much more powerful than that. When Jesus made this promise that to this scared group of believers who were used to walking with Jesus, when he said to them, you know, you're now going to be the church, that was frightening, especially to someone like Peter, who had, you know, fallen flat on his face a short time earlier. But what that means to us, because I'm ordinary and I fall flat on my face too, is that there is an advocate within me that fights for me, to me. And I want to describe that. I want to go a little bit deeper in that. Jesus, as an advocate, stands before the Father. But the Holy Spirit, as an advocate who comes alongside us, fights for us, to us. And when I look in the mirror and I see that the Lord is asking me to believe in my marriage or to believe that He, if I step outside my comfort zone, that He's going to meet me there, or that if I'm praying for my child and I want to fix it so bad and yet it's not my role to fix it, it's His, He fights for me, to me. I look in the mirror and I understand that He's going to be with me through this, that He's going to fill those gaps in my life that I have, because we all have them, that some days that there's going to be faith beyond the natural, like 1 Peter talks about, or some days there's going to be discernment. Some days there is going to be wisdom that I need that is given generously to me. And Susie, it just means that as we walk in our faith, we're not superhuman. This having the Holy Spirit doesn't make us super powerful, but we're empowered to live our faith in a way that it reflects Jesus in us. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit as we work through just these real daily nitty gritty things that's called life.
Wow. Talk, if you would, about how the Lord, the power of the Spirit, gives us comfort when we're weak, when we feel like we're just hanging on, and we really are in over our head. You know, it's never helpful, I always say anyway, when you're in the fire, in the storm, and someone says, God won't give you more than you can handle. I mean, there are times, He always provides a way out, but I always want to say, not helpful right now. But in those places when you feel like you'll despair if He doesn't come through, how does He come through in a way that's supernatural?
Well, you know, it's intimidating to write a book about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to throw that out there. This was a personal search for my own life, and what I found was so beautiful. And yet, as I began to write, there were a couple of things that happened in my own life. And one is my mom was diagnosed with cancer as I wrote this book, and then my daughter was diagnosed with cancer as I wrote this book. And I remember there being a moment where it felt like the enemy was just swinging wildly at everything that I called precious and everything that I held dear. And in that moment, as I looked at the Lord and just said, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. I'm writing about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And right now, I just feel like I'm in the midst of this giant battle. Lord, if it were me, if the enemy was swinging at me, that's one thing. But he's swinging at my baby girl. He's swinging at my mom. And that was only a few of the things. And as I prayed, I realized that this really honestly wasn't about me, Susie. Writing this book is not about me. What I do in ministry is not about me. What I do for anything that I do for the Lord, it's not about me. And sometimes in the midst of the battle, as we cry out for help, it leads us to such a dependent walk. We're going to have doubts. We're going to have those moments where our knees are knocking. We're going to have those moments where we feel like we can't do it. But honestly, it leads us to a place of dependency upon the Lord, that it becomes this walk of trust. And we realize that whether our knees are knocking or not, that if God is in it, then He has a purpose for it, and He's going to show up in the midst of that. And that's comfort. That's comfort. That takes the pressure off of me as He comes alongside and says, you know what, you have a role to play in this. It's not your job to fix it. It's not your job to carry it all the way to fruition. Show up every day, Susie, with a heart that is willing, and I'll use your life, and I'll do things through you and in you through this that you cannot even imagine. And there's great comfort in that.
Mm-hmm. Boy, yeah, He certainly does the heavy lifting. And so when it does feel too heavy, I know there's times when it feels too heavy, I sense the Holy Spirit whispering to me, what part of this are you carrying that you're not supposed to? And amazing when you roll it over, you know, what a difference. Because Jesus means what He says when He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Even in hardship, there is a grace for the hardship, isn't there?
Right. And it was funny. I was on my way to Arizona when I found out that my mom had cancer, and I was carrying that burden. I was going to speak at a conference, and I was nurturing that and praying over that. I spoke at the conference and then got in the car to drive to the airport with a friend. And that's when my daughter called and said, Mom, I just found out that I have breast cancer. And this friend let me out, having no idea what I just heard. I went into the bathroom stall at the airport and just slid down and started weeping over my baby girl, over my mom and over my daughter. And I called another friend and I just said, I just need you to pray. It's a really long, day before I can get to her side. And I just need to know that I have someone praying with me. And she called back not 30 seconds later, and she said, Susie, I literally got down on my face to pray for you, and I felt the Lord just whisper into my heart, you don't need to pray for her because Susie already knows who to trust. Susie knows what to do. And she called me back, and she said, you know what to do. And the thing is, I did know what to do. I did. I knew that in that moment, it was time to invite him into the midst of that battle, because we feel like that our purpose is going to be diminished in the battle when often it's illuminated in the battle, because we are walking into battle saying, I don't have this. I don't have all the answers, but I know who to trust and I know who to hold on to. And Lord, while I fight for my daughter, I know that you're fighting for me. And I trust in that.
And how did he meet you as you walk through these, you know, dual battles with mom and daughter, both battling cancer? Did you say that's why you were writing this book?
Well, that was in the midst of writing this book. And I went away to a little cottage. A friend had a little cottage deep in the heart of the Ozarks. And the only place that was around was a little gas station that sold leathery chicken. So it was like really out there.
If you like that sort of thing, yay.
And I don't. But I was out there, and what I needed to do was to take my deadline, which was another several weeks, and condense that into just a few days because my daughter was going to have surgery, massive surgery. And so in that little cottage is where I just wrestled with God as I wrote these words. And as I began to finish and write these words, I wrote a spirit-led heart manifesto. And I don't know if you've seen that. It's in the book. It's what he spoke to me during that time. And I love how the Lord takes what the enemy means for harm. And then he turns around and shows me, I am with you every step of the way. I'm with you on the valley. I'm with you on the mountaintop. I'm with you when your knees are shaking. I'm with you when you feel embattled. And Susie, if I'm in this, and I've said this twice now, but if I'm in this, and I am, then this is going to be a trust journey. And honestly, until this book came out in print, and I sat down and read it, I could see that week where I felt completely just without any resources and had to trust that I was equipped to do what he called me to do. When I sat down and read that book, I was amazed at what God could do in spite of me.
Oh, wow. Susie Ehlers, my friend and my guest today, The Spirit-Led Heart is her book, and we will be back in just a moment. So much that we don't know, so much we don't see. We see in part, we know in part, we really only see part of the story. And then when you think about our experiences, our pain filter, so many things sort of cloud our view of a right perspective. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. He gives us clarity. He shows us what's true, even when it doesn't feel true. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Susie Larson here. This is our last day of broadcasting Live the Promise, my final live day at Faith Radio. Honored to be talking to my friend Susie Ehler. Her book is titled The Spirit-Led Heart. Let's talk about that, the way that the Holy Spirit breaks through into our maybe confusion and skewed perspective, brings discernment, brings clarity. Talk about that.
You know, right now, today, you and I will receive thousands of messages in a thousand different ways. Our minds are completely, I wouldn't say overwhelmed, but assaulted with so many different messages, to the point that we may struggle to know what is true versus what is almost true versus what is an outright lie. And this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, which is discernment, simply means that we are shown what is true versus what is almost true. And I, not too long ago, Susie, I got a little discouraged. In fact, I got really discouraged. When I was a kid, I thought it would be super cool to have a superhero power. And I knew that what I wanted when I was a child was to be able to walk past a person and boom, I would know their thoughts. I just thought that would be great. Well, here I am years later as an adult, and I realize that because of social media, because of news apps, because of all the information that we have at our disposal, that we now have that superpower. I know what people are thinking 24/7, and it's not near as cool as I thought it was going to be.
Indeed.
And so I was at a place of absolute frustration and discouragement. I saw my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ maybe debating each other, or I saw news coming out that had such damaging impact, or I saw our world that was in chaos, and it was honestly leading to some pretty deep roots of cynicism. I loved God with all of my heart, but I was losing my faith in humanity. And that was leading me to a confidence crisis, and that's what happens when we don't know what is true or what is almost true or what is a lie or how to walk in truth. We can come to this place of a confidence crisis, and fear is the root of every confidence crisis. And my fear in that was that the church was under such assault that we wouldn't be able to write this. And I'm just being very vulnerable, if that's okay with you.
Of course, please.
I was at a point to where I thought that, you know, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to believe, because what I see in person is not what I see on social media, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was just daily hiding and unfollowing people. And the Lord brought me to a set of scriptures as I was just praying about that one day, because I knew that it was very spiritually unhealthy. And it was John chapter 20, verse 19. And it was the early church, and they were hiding behind barred doors for fear of people, of Jewish leaders and authorities. And I realized, I saw a part of that verse that I had never seen that day, Susie. And that verse said, it was Sunday evening. And that meant that this was the day that they had already witnessed the tomb was empty. This was the day that Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus and told them about it. And yet here they were, still behind locked doors, afraid. And fear is the root of most of our confidence crises, but our faith is the target. And that's where I was, is that the enemy was trying to get me to be so locked behind a barred door of cynicism and frustration and feelings that this can't be fixed, that I forgot three really important truths. And one is, and Jesus told the church this in John 20:19, when he appeared in the midst of their fear. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't drag them outside. He appeared in the midst of their fear, behind the locked door with them. And over the next 40 days, he let the church know, number one, I am still who I said I am. I am who I say I am. Number two, everything that I have ever told you is still true. And number three, and he told Philip this, everything that I said you could do in my name, you can still do, and even greater. And when we get locked behind that barred door of a confidence crisis, discernment is one of those things that will help us remember the truth, to see the truth behind all of the facade, so that we can walk out in truth, in confidence, and say, yes, the world is messy, and yes, I'm messy, but God, Jesus is still who he says he is. The world still needs him. Every promise he ever made to me is still true. And everything that he said we could do as a church, we can still do with his help and even greater, but not if we stay behind a barred door.
Boy, amen, amen. When I think about discernment as well, it's so interesting how uniquely and personally the Lord leads each one of us, and how, because we're all in different seasons, obedience for you, it may be disobedience for me. Isn't that another beautiful aspect of discernment, as far as discerning what the will of the Lord is in your particular situation? Maybe everybody's running off the cliff, or maybe everybody's jumping on a bandwagon, but he's like, you know, that's not for you right now. Talk about that just unique way that the Lord leads us.
Sure. He leads us by, he speaks to us, Susie. That's important for us to understand. He speaks to us through the Word. He speaks to us in that great exchange of intimate prayer, and he even speaks to us through people. And I there was a point in time last year where one of my friends was going through a really rough time. She had kind of slid back into to some just areas that were traps for her, and I wanted to fix that so bad. I wanted to go just come alongside her, pick her up, put her feet on the right path, you know, and that was totally out of love. And this, again, is where discernment comes. As I started toward the car, the discernment was, this is not your job. What did I ask you to do? And all that the Lord had ever asked me to do in this relationship was to love her. And two, she comes around my table as one of many women, and we study the Word together every week to teach the Word and to be her friend. I did not ask you to fix her. I did not ask you to rescue her. That's my job. And so many times, you know, discernment can be as big as someone is telling you something that they say is from God, and you know that you know that you know in your heart that it's not. That's discernment. Mm-hmm. But discernment is also knowing what is our job to do and what is our job not to do, and trusting that God will lead beyond what we really want to do, but yet it's not our assignment.
Mm, that's such a gift, isn't it, that Jesus did not leave us empty-handed. He gave us a gift, and it's a seal and a sign, really, of things to come, a foretaste of things to come. Well, in the book of Acts, you unpack the disciples' prayer, and I'd love for you to apply this part of the portion of the prayer to, as it applies to us today. Lord, consider their threats. Give us boldness. Perform miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. You sort of break it down. First, talk about consider their threats.
Well, you know, they had just been told, the early church, not to speak about Jesus. And they had been told that with a good thrashing, a good beating, and being imprisoned. And so this was no empty threat. And when they walked out of that prison, the very first thing they did was to pray. And they asked, they acknowledged before the Lord that there was a very real threat. And I think that's important, that we understand that we do have an enemy. He does want to impact our marriages. He does want to trip us up in our faith. He does want to get my eyes off of what he's called me to do and put it on things like social media or debates or things that make my heart hammer. We have a real enemy. So when I come before the Lord and I pray and I just say, Lord, consider these threats that the enemy has against me. He's swinging wildly at everything I hold precious. But God, I acknowledge these are real. I acknowledge that I feel them. But Lord, show me where you are in the midst of this, because my eyes naturally tend to go toward my feelings. My heart naturally tends to go toward how I feel. But show me you in the midst of this. Maybe one step, maybe one word, maybe to be still, maybe to rest and fill back up. But show me where you are in the midst of this, because I can find me very easily. Mm-hmm. Show me where you are.
Mm. So good. How about this? Give us boldness.
Yeah, I love this word. I love this word. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit and the boldness that comes out of this comes from the word dunamis, which is our word for dynamite. And we can be a little bit scared of that word because dynamite is a word that, you know, it can cause shrapnel, it can cause damage. And if you've ever been hurt by someone who's speaking as if they're speaking for the Lord, this can be scary. But it's not that way at all. This is empowered from within. It is power for a purpose. It's a boldness for a purpose. And that is to reflect the love of Jesus to a world that Jesus loves. And so this is a gentle boldness. This is a boldness that can come on suddenly. We see it when Peter, who just a few days earlier couldn't admit that he was a follower of Jesus before a servant girl, and yet now he's standing before a crowd of thousands and standing in front of those who could take his life or his influence in a heartbeat, and yet he steps up, and I love this. As he opened his mouth, Susie, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So this empty that he had, because we're empty, if it's just up to us and our plans, and what we think we can do, we're pretty empty. But when he stepped forward in faith, he was filled with boldness. And he had the right word to say at the right time. And it drew many to Christ. It also meant that he was going to pay a price because he was again put into jail for this. But thousands were drawn to Christ because of this beautiful empowerment from within to know the right word to say at the right moment.
When you look at the life transformation of Peter, I mean, only the Spirit of God could do that for a person, in a person, through a person. He went from being hasty, maybe self-preserving, to selfless and bold and courageous. And that's a mark of the Spirit of God in someone's life, where they have just sort of otherworldly conviction, boldness, because they're about something bigger than themselves, right?
Right. And it didn't stop there. We see later, we see Peter at a place where the Lord spoke to him through the vision. And it says the Holy Spirit was instrumental in showing him that God didn't care about just the Jews. Yes, they were his chosen people, but God cared about the world. And so he was leading Peter to a place where he could step outside his own prejudices so that he could embrace the Gentiles. So this was a continual work in the life and heart of Peter, and it's a continual filling and pouring out and filling again as he works in the heart of us.
I'm going to pause for our break. So we're breaking down that prayer from Acts, Lord, consider their threats, and how that applies to us today. We can pray in the same way, Lord, consider these threats that are coming against me. Be my defender, my deliverer, my vindicator. Show me what obedience looks like here. Is it rest? Is it taking up my shield? Is it acquiring, getting around my community? It's amazing how the Spirit of God will lead you into strategy, how to stand in battle, how to thrive in storm, and then give us boldness. We'd be praying that all the time. When we come back, we'll look at perform miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. Talking to Susie Eller, her book, The Spirit-Led Heart, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Susie Eller. On her books, you see Suzanne Eller. So if you Google her, well, I think you'll find her either way. Title of her book, The Spirit-Led Heart, Living a Life of Love and Faith Without Borders. We've just been breaking down the prayer in the book of Acts that you break down in the book as well. We've been talking about the line, Lord, consider their threats, and how we can pray that same prayer, Lord, come to our defense and give us boldness. We've talked about that. How about this part of the prayer? Perform signs and wonders, or miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. Some say that's not for today, but talk about that prayer and what it means to us.
I have to go back to that promise that Jesus made when he said that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. And we are still in forever, Susie. There was a dash that Jesus gave to the early church. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. And that is where we are equipped, is in that dash, and that dash is still going. So it is still for today. And what I love about walking through the book of Acts is it starts with the early church. It goes into Paul and Lydia and others. But there is one continuation through the book of Acts, and that is this promise of the Holy Spirit. And they didn't just listen to it or embrace it. They began to live that promise. And the result in Acts chapter 4 is this picture of a spiritually healthy church. And it's beautiful. It shows that there is a community of believers that have come together in unity, that they are providing for one another, that they are in awe of their faith. And as a result, miracles and wonders were taking place, even through those like Stephen, who were new believers. And so is it for today? It's for today. What does that look like? I'm not sure. But what I want to do, Susie, is I want to be open to the fact that if he's given me a promise, I want every drop of it, whatever Amen. That looks like. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. And we need it. We desperately need this in the church today. The dash is still there. There's still work to be done. When I pray, this morning, I went with my daughter for a procedure, and her dad and I laid our hands on her and prayed. And I want to believe in my heart, and I do, that as a spirit-led woman, when I pray, God hears those prayers, and that he's doing things that I cannot even imagine.
Mm-hmm. And I pray the Lord will help us imagine. You know, Scripture says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Don't fix your eyes on what you can see. I feel like if we could spend our lives saying, Lord, let me see things like you do. Let me perceive things like you do. Because if we did, even a little bit, wow. I mean, the ripple effect of our prayers, the ripple effect of our faith, the ripple effect of our active obediences and our gifts and the seeds we sow, I think we would be bold, courageous, and audacious if we had a sense of the multiplication happening in the heavenly realm. So, Lord, give us boldness, you know? Wow.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. And what I really love about this is there was a moment when the early church was just operating in this, operating in trust and faith, and they were making mistakes, and they were completely ordinary. And I know that because as the leaders gathered together, they were puzzled because these were ordinary people. Mm-hmm. But I love it. It goes on to say that they realized that they had been with Jesus. And that's the key. That's the fruit, is that we are ordinary. I am extraordinarily ordinary, Susie. I am. I don't have this beautiful background or pedigree. I just love Jesus. He met me where I was. He met a 17-year-old girl at an altar who was crying for help. And somehow he saw something in my life that I couldn't even begin to envision. And today, 40 years later, he still is unfolding his plan over my life, but only in accordance with his plan for the world.
Amen and amen. Well, you tell the story in the book about a time you're invited to go to India with P31 Ministries, and you're excited about it, but also you wanted to kind of maintain balance. You had a lot of other things going on, and you felt like you might need to say no. Talk about how the Holy Spirit impacted that process for you.
I remember that moment where I found out that we were actually going much earlier than we had planned. And I looked at my calendar, and I had all kinds of green and yellow and red stripes that said that I was completely booked up for the next 3 months. And yet this is exactly when this trip was going to take place. And so I was just going to bow out gracefully. And as I started to put my hands on my phone to send that text that says, I can't do it. I could have done it next year, but I can't do it now. And I knew, like my hand stopped midair, that I was supposed to go. Hmm. We ended up going to India. It was 118 degrees. We were on 12 planes in 9 days and had the beautiful opportunity to sit with believers in little plant churches all over. I got to touch the skin of women who had been beaten by their relatives because of the profession of Jesus Christ. I get to sit with women who were called untouchable and hold them in my arms as they realize their worth to Christ. And one night, really late, we were on our way home. It was almost 10 o'clock, and we were in the snarling traffic. And my friend who was in the car that lived in India said, I have a friend who's going through breast cancer. She's going to be home. Could we just stop by and encourage her? Because, Susie, you are a breast cancer survivor too, right? And we stopped. It was almost by this time 11 because we had to go across the city. And I walked in the door, and Susie, 118-degree heat, and I do not get along. I was sweaty. My hair was in some kind of side ponytail from the 80s because it had slid down. I sat beside her, and we began to talk. And she looked over and put her hand on my face. And she said, and she didn't know who was coming. She just knew that her friend was bringing a couple of friends from the U.S., she put her hands on my face and she said, you're Susie Eller. And I thought, what? And she told me, she said, as I'm looking at you, I see your face through Proverbs 31 Ministries, through the devotions that come, and I recognized you when you walked through the door. And she said, I have often prayed because it is not, as I live my faith, it's not accepted where I'm at. And I've often prayed that I could go to the U.S. and I could thank these women who encourage me in my faith daily, that God in his mercy brought you to my front door when I needed him most. And I just wept with her. My friend Lynn and I, we prayed, we wept with her, we got in the car. That was a 1 in 1.2 billion encounter.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't planned by me, but it was planned by God way back when I was holding up my calendar with all my busyness saying, I'm not sure I can do this. And the Lord already had something in mind that was vast because he had her on his heart, not my schedule.
You're right. There's nothing wrong with having a plan unless the plan becomes greater than the assignment. And boy,
absolutely.
Maybe someone needed to hear that today, because we love our plan. But Scripture says man makes his plan, but the Lord determines his steps. But don't you think, Susie, we need to let the Lord determine our steps? We can be stubborn, but you were sensitive to the Spirit, and you went where he led you. It is time now for prayer, and I'm wondering if you'd pray for that person listening today, Suze, who wants so much to walk the adventure of faith, to be pliable, flexible, interruptible, so that they can respond to the nudges of the Spirit of God. Would you pray for that person?
Yes. Father, I thank you for this promise of the Helper. You know, Lord Jesus, how desperately we need it today and every day. Lord, never let anyone's voice be louder in our ears than yours. May we turn our hearts away from those things that distract us, from your goodness, from your promise, from your power. May we remember, Father, that you are who you say you are. Lord, that there is still a need in front of us, and that with your help, we can be and do what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Wish I could squeeze your neck, Susie. I love you so much, and thank you for joining us on this final day.
Love you, too.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and just a bit, you'll find a podcast on our website of today's program at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, hour two, phone lines will be open. I would just love to say goodbye. I'd love to hear from you. And if you want to answer the question of the day, here it is. Tell me about a time. It's not really a question. No, it is. Tell me about a time you stepped out in faith. I would love to know. Phone lines are open, and we'll be back here in just a moment. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.